call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance Committee to order. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Junkian.
Here.
Representative Welty.
Here.
Representative Finstad.
Here.
Representative Doty.
Here.
Representative Faust.
Here.
Representative Hamilton.
Here.
Representative Hansen.
Here.
Representative Heidgerken.
Here.
Representative Magnus.
Here.
Representative Olin.
Here.
Representative Votremba. Representative Peterson. Representative Poppy. Representative Szymanski.
Here.
All right. Let's see. Representative Finstad moves approval of the minutes from Wednesday, March 21st. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Minutes are adopted. Members, as you can see in your folders, you've got, you should have a number of items. You have a copy of the Bill 2227, which is really meaningless because we have a delete everything amendment to that. So, but we have to have the bill to work with. We'll be taking just a little order here. We'll be taking that up. Well, maybe I better back up first. Welcome to everyone in the room. There are no rules in this committee other than shut your phones off. And if you don't and they ring, then you all get to put a dollar in our coffee pot. If you answer it, it's $5. That's the only rule we have in here. And the coffee is here for you all, too. So if you haven't had your morning cup of coffee, go have it. And as you can see, there's some kind of protein product floating around here, and the pages will make sure they're opening that, and I'd ask the pages to set that out by the coffee or the paperwork, and that's all for you folks, too. I believe AURI or someone remembered to bring some food in. Corn growers, turkey growers, soybean growers, all the others out there, take note. This is the Ag Committee, and we don't mind food samples here, so keep that in mind in the future. You veterans guys, I don't know what we're going to come up with you, but we'll figure something out. So, order of business today, members, we'll take the bill up. We'll have the author's mark, which is the DE1. We'll have staff go through the spreadsheet, and then I'll go through the bill itself, the language. We'll certainly entertain questions at that time from members. Then what we're going to do is come back tomorrow after everyone's had an opportunity to digest it. And if there's any amendments that need to be done to correct things, I know there's there's some things that need to be taken out of this bill. There's probably some additions that need to be put in. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll take public testimony tomorrow. We will do amendments tomorrow. If we're not done tomorrow, we certainly have Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So there's no hurry on this. I'm not pressing you all. It'll be up to the committee whether we want to move this bill out tomorrow and be done or whether we need an extra evening or day later. That's certainly up to Representative Finstad and myself and the rest of the committee. We can make that decision. So I don't want anyone to feel rushed. At this point, Representative Heidgerken already has a question.
Mr. Chair, when are the amendments due? What time?
We have no rules, Representative Heidgerken. Yeah, as far as amendments go, you can bring them in with you, but I would beg everyone in a nice way to get them to Dana or Kate as soon as possible so we can make 60 or 80 copies for the audience and for us. If you are bringing them, I recommend you bring copies for everyone. Certainly, it's good to give a heads up to the chair on them, but if it's something the chair doesn't understand, the chair may just recess the committee for a while until the chair understands it. So that's the interesting thing about holding a gavel. So hopefully we don't have that problem, though. I think we're willing to talk and discuss things with each other. I apologize for not getting you all copies of the bill, frankly, yesterday. I was actually proofreading this last night and this morning. So this copy is literally hot off the press, and I would guess we're going to find some typos. I know I found one, which I'll be pointing out right away, but there's probably some others. So with that, this time I would move House File 2227 before the committee, and I would move the DE1 amendment. Any questions? All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. The bill is now in the shape I need it in. In your packets, you have a spreadsheet with the numbers on it. The front page is a real basic summary. The next two pages are probably more what you like to look at, and the last pages are much more detailed, but I'm going to hand it over to Jim Reinholtz, who will our fiscal analyst, who will go through the spreadsheet with you, and then we'll get to work on looking at the actual bill. Jim?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as the chair just summarized, I'll go through and primarily focus on the changes. You have the packet for you that I prepared, and I'll just speak briefly to the first page. What I'm trying to show here primarily is on the top portion of it, the general fund summary by agency. As you see, the difference between this delete all amendment compared back to both the forecast base for the upcoming 08-09 fiscal years and the governor's request, that 22-27, the delete all, is a $34,285,000 increase from the forecast base and a $529,000 increase over the 2 years from the governor's base on the general fund. The bottom half shows a summary of all the direct appropriations within the division, showing same information once again, comparing forecast, governor, and the delete all, and you see that the increase is down there is 34.1% over the base and 0.4% over the governor. Probably, Mr. Chair, the largest increases I've seen in a long time in this division, as percentage basis anyhow. Then I would ask you turn to the next two pages. The next two pages are a summary of the budget change items by agency. And just to give you an idea, what you'll see here is the first nine lines are the base amounts listed by the agencies. Starting on line 10 are the listing of the changes that are in the Department of Agriculture. And I'll focus on the columns that are titled the Chair's Recommendation. Really, at this point now, it is House File 227, DE1's recommendations. And we'll go down, and I'll quickly point out to you what changes are contained in here. And on line 12 through 21 are a comparison of the governor's recs to the delete all's recommendations. And on the invasive species request by the governor is in the delete all as the same. The emergency planning and response on 13 is in the delete all, same as recommended by the governor. The identification and record keeping change item is in the delete all as recommended. On 15, the meat inspection changes is in the delete all as recommended by the department. The electronic field inspection system, once again, is in the delete all as recommended. The laboratory building rental costs are in the delete all. This next one, the clean water legacy, the governor recommended it at $4.5 million. The delete all for 08 and 09 is $3.7 million. If you look at that middle column, you can see the difference is $800,000 less than the governor. The clean water legacy, that was the clean water, excuse me, the compensation adjustment in there for the general fund is as recommended by the department. The Minnesota Grown Promotion Program was a change item recommended by the governor. The delete all recommends an additional $100,000 over the 2 years of the biennium. And the Next Gen Bioenergy Initiative was recommended at $10 million by the governor, is at 4.4 in the delete all for the first two years of the biennium. Those are the general fund changes that were recommended by the governor and how they are. Starting on line 24, are changes that were brought before the committee in bills. The bill number is listed there and also the chief author of the bill. The first item on 24 is the sustainable ag grants is increased by $160,000 over the biennium. The organic products cost share, which was House File 846, is increased by $100,000 in the biennium from the base. Line 27 is the Ag Education Leadership Council. that was House File 884 is increased, is an appropriation in the delete all of $500,000 over the biennium. The County Ag Funding Society, the House File 1140 is recommended for an increase of $232,000 over the biennium. The fertilizer checkoff bill, which was House File 642, is funded at $800,000 in the second year of the biennium. There was a Minnesota Turf Seed Council grant for agronomic research is recommended at $200,000. The central located biomass depot was recommended. That was House File 2051 at $200,000. The Boys Fork Energy grant project is recommended at $200,000. That was House File 774. The food shelf milk distribution appropriation is in the bill as a base grant, and that is increased by $400,000 in the recommended delete all. The White Earth Band Renewable Energy Grant is recommended at $200,000. That was House File 1350. The Plasma Gasification Study, House File 2155, is recommended at $200,000. And the East Central Minnesota Renewable Energy Grant, House File 1664, at $200,000. And there is a one-time appropriation of $50,000 in the first year of the biennium to provide needed, if needed, supplemental funding for the grain inspection to be continued at the Duluth Port. Those are the changes in the Department of Ag. I'd move on to the Animal Health Board and the changes there on line 48. The governor had a governor's recommendation for funding for the elimination of bovine TB. The governor recommended $811,000. On line 52, Representative Olin had a House File 308 recommended $816,000. The delete all amendment recommends funding at House File 308 level. That's shown on line 52. On line 51, the animal reimbursement limits removed was House File 1955. That is recommended in the delete all at $100,000 in the first year, and those funds are available until spent. The next, moving on to the second page, that would be the AURI recommendations. On line 58, the governor recommended an increase of $800,000 over the biennium. The House recommendation is contained, or the delete all recommendation is for an increase over the governor of $4 million more for a total increase of $4.8. Moving into the Veterans Affairs Department, lines 64 through 72 were governor's recs. The delete all contains all those recommendations as put forth by the governor, except for on line 68 in the Higher Education Assistance Office change item. The delete all does not contain that funding, and the difference is shown in the column there is $2.3 million. I think you're familiar with those items, so I won't name them. You can see those there that were the same as the governor. But I'll move on to line 74. These are where bills that were brought before the committee are in the delete all recommendations. The first one is House File 451, is recommended for $200,000 worth of general funding over the biennium. The military spousal education benefits is recommended at $26,000 in each year. The vets health screening, which was House File 1065, is recommended at $1 million over the 2 years. The World War II Memorial Dedication Funding, which was House File 1901, is recommended for one time only of $250,000. And House File 1612, which was some vet counseling appropriations, is recommended for a one time of $80,000. Those then are the general fund changes contained in the delete all. There were a few non-general fund changes, and those begin down on line 95 of the second page of your spreadsheet. They're all in the Department of Agriculture on line 99. The governor recommended some increased appropriations on the retail food handler plan review at $26,000 over the biennium. That recommendation is in the delete all. There was the residential antimicrobial pesticide study is in the delete all. I believe that was Representative Hansen's bill. That's not listed there, the bill, but it was Representative Hansen brought that before the committee, recommended for $15,000. There's on 101 as out of the agriculture fund is a pesticide collection increase. So that was Representative Saylor's bill is recommended. On the spreadsheet here, it's $700,000 in each year. There were some last-minute changes to the language on that bill. This is a statutory appropriation, but the amounts might be slightly changed on that. And on 102, the Minnesota Grown Program has a portion of it that is agricultural fund, and that is recommended, as the governor did, at $25,000 over the biennium. The remainder of the handout is really just those items in the base distributed into the way the bill is funded by division. I don't think that really, Mr. Chair, there'd be much use to go through that unless members have any questions on it.
Okay, that's the spreadsheet, members. We'll move to the DE and kind of go through it section by section so you can see how it's laid out and some explanation, perhaps, of some of the numbers in the spreadsheet. As we look at the DE, obviously, going through it, the first sections just list the accounts, and then under the accounts you'll see some direction on how the money is spent. I'm not going to go through all of it. Most of it was governor's recommendations, and the language came straight from the 2227 bill and was carried over here. I will name some of the areas of note. On page 3, I would tell the staff 3.9 has a typo. There's an extra 5 in there, so Colby, if you'd make a note of that, we'll fix that up tomorrow. The rest of that section is Minnesota Grown. There is one change in there. I would note 319, starting on line 319, the bill asks for $50,000 of this appropriation. That was an additional $50,000 that we added, be used for to promote Minnesota Grown products in retail food establishments, restaurants, Representative Heidegerken, grocery stores, convenience stores. I think it's important we get that Minnesota Grown label out there, and this basically would give one full-time person the opportunity to do that during the year to promote these products within our retail. I think we can do a better job, and it will help all our Minnesota Grown products. As we move to the bottom, the sustainable egg grants were doubled. I think it was 80 and 80 in the governor's recs. We went 160 plus 160. By the way, for everyone in this room or around the countryside that's been calling in on MESA, that will be you'll see that MESA language. While you saw it in the ag bill over in the Senate, you will see it in the higher education bill, which is where I think it belongs, in the House. So you want to stop in to represent Rukavina's committee at 12:30 and take a look. There's some other items in there that pertain to agriculture, but are line itemed in the higher ed bill for the University of Minnesota. So it's not that we left it out of this bill. We simply moved it, I believe, to another account. Hopefully it's there today. If it's not, we'll work on it. As we move through the bill, there's most of this, again, is governor's recs. We go to page 5. You'll see an increase in the organic certification. That was doubled from last year. We know they ran out of money, but based on the numbers they gave us, we think doubling that should get us through. I think importantly, members, to us, as you move in, you'll see a bioenergy section both in the first part of the bill is the actual numbers finance. The second part of the bill is language or policy, and you'll see a bioenergy section in each one. So we can actually point and hopefully take ownership of this in an easier manner rather than skating around through the bill. The first part of it is our standard ethanol language that we've seen for a number of years. On page 6.16, we start with the Next Gen Energy grants, and basically Representative Magnus has worked on the language, tried to pull all the groups together, and working with Colby has put language together, and you'll see more of that in the back of the bill as we get to it also. Basically, members, what we did with Next Gen is the first year we actually assigned grant money, and that's what you see coming here in a minute. But the second year, we turn it on, and it goes to a board rather than the legislature. So the board that will be established will then make the decision on where next-gen grants or loans in the future go. But since we didn't have that in place this year, we basically did that on our own. As you move in through it, note to the page 7.21 to 7.23 says the commissioner's cost in administering the program may be paid from the appropriation. I would make a note to the commissioner's office that we'd like some testimony on that tomorrow on what that cost might be. At this point, we haven't limited your cost, but we want to know an idea from you on what that might be so we can make a decision on that. So if you would note that. Then we move through the grants. Basically, members, Representative Magnus's language says in the future these grants will probably be limited to about $150,000, I believe, was the top number on the grants. But rather than do that the first year, we went at $200,000 each on the grants. And that meant most people got cut a little bit, but we think that was a fair way to look at it at this point. Obviously, we've got a ways to go in the process, but at least everyone's in, and this is a start. The first one there, 7.24, is the turf seed native grass, native plant research of Olin's. 8.3 is the beard bill for Dakota or Coda Energy and the malting folks down in his area. 8.17 was Dill's Boys Fort development grant. Eakin had the one on 9.1 for the White Earth. We heard from them. Hackbarth, 9.23 is his for Great River Energy bill. Kalen had the 10.7 for the East Central. So we actually funded six of those, I believe, and that's all we saw on the committee. I thought they were all a little bit different. They were all a little bit unique, and perhaps it gives a signal to the next-gen board of the kind of things we're looking at in the future, among other things that, will come before them. We move on to administrative. We have the dairy profitability folks still on 11. We think that's important. That was Governor's Rex. A lot of this is Governor's Rex. And again, I'll just make a note to the department, and I'm not giving anyone grief, but as we look through this, members, you're going to see a lot of numbers and information here. $19,000 for the Minnesota Livestock Breeders Association. We never had testimony on that. And we never had testimony on Northern Crops Institute, and we never had testimony on a lot of the things you see in the base budget. If you remember, we had asked the department to give us testimony on their base budget, and as they made their presentations, we were assuming that's what they were doing. But now that the bill is out and we see their language, we understand that we maybe didn't hear about all this. I, as a chair, have been checking on it. Certainly, we have a bill before us, so this is testimony now on it. Most of it, I think, is very good, but in the future, again, a note to the department, we want to hear about this stuff so we don't have to call last minute and say, well, what's this Northern Crops Institute, and why are we giving $50,000 in the base budget to it? By the way, that is I found out that's a tri-state agreement we have with the Dakotas and Minnesota on small grain research and other things, and we provide $50,000 a year very appropriately, but it would have been nice to review that, I think, during our meetings and understand if that's enough, if it's not enough, if we should make adjustments, and if we should continue that. New one on line 12 is the MAILSEA funding. Again, we can argue whether that should be University of Minnesota or Department of Agriculture. We made the decision, at least this year, to put it in Department of Agriculture and put those grants forward. I will explain now 12.9, what I did with the fertilizer checkoff. And that's a bill, as you know, that's been here a couple years. And there's been a lot of chat about the checkoff dollars and what's going on. I made an executive decision here from my chair. Since it's my bill and has been my bill and I want it in here, I funded it through the Clean Water Legacy BMP loans, Best Management Practices loan. There's no question in anyone's mind, I don't think, that fertility research is best management practices, and I think it's appropriate for those dollars. What I've basically done, rather than argue about the fees and the checkoff and everything else, for the second year of the biennium, we just fund what they're expected to get, which is $800,000. The board will then be in place. The board can make grants the first year with that cash outlay. We then ask the board, and you'll see it in language coming up in the second part, we ask the checkoff board or the fertilizer research board to come back to the legislature with recommendations on how they want this funded in the future. So basically they can tell us we'd like cash appropriations, and if we have money and the will as a legislative body, we can do that. If we've got budget problems and they want to continue the research dollars, they can recommend to us to click on the checkoff. So it's basically a click on, click off. We give it up to them as far as writing us and letting us know as a committee what to do, and then we make that decision, obviously. But at least for this biennium, there's no checkoff, there's no fees, there's no nothing to argue about. We're going to put it in place, and we'll try and fire it up that way and see if that can work with everyone involved. So that's a decision I made. We can talk about it, but I think it maybe will get us off the dime that we're stuck on at this point in time. 12.22, there's an increase there for our county fairs. You remember that. That's the language there to pay for really what we owe them every year, and we've promised them. Again, the rest of this, as you go through, is boilerplate on the bottom there, and Minnesota Forage Seed Advisory Committee, that's base budget. The next section is the food shelf money. Was at $200,000 per year. I know they use that rather rapidly. I think it's a good thing that this committee buy milk for folks in Minnesota from our dairy producers. I think it's an appropriate use, and we basically doubled that appropriation. I know originally Representative Davids carried this bill, I believe, at $1 million a year. So we're going to bump it up to $400,000 and see how far that gets them into the year. At least it's a bump from what they had, and I think a very appropriate at this point in time. Again, the rest of this, as you go through, Port Society, the mental health initiative, those are all base budget items. The next section is Board of Animal Health. You heard the recommendations there. It's basically the Board of Animal Health's bill that Olin carried. If you remember, they had a bunch of rulemaking, and they were going to be redoing a lot of their authority. And so that's how we put that bill in rather than the governor's, but it's essentially the same thing. As well as then an extra $100,000, which we heard they may need for reimbursement for animals. We didn't know if it was going to be zero or $100,000 was the testimony. We put $100,000 in the first year and said it can carry forward until used up. If it goes beyond that, they'll have to come back to us and ask for additional appropriation. The AURI money, again, if you remember the severe cuts of 4 years ago, I guess I do think they're play an important role in research and development, certainly of our biofuels. Particularly, they were a key role in ethanol and biodiesel development in the state. We want to make sure they're doing their job, but in the rider language there, I think the other important thing with them is to continue to monitor and coordinate, and I'm on page 15 on the top, renewable energy efforts and opportunities in the state via the Bioenergy Roundtable. That's at 4 times a year group that meets, as well as committee activity in between. They're also been doing some other things, and they're listed there. We're really putting the pressure on them, I think, to continue that and really coordinate this effort. I don't like the scatter approach that some, I think, fear is coming with this, that we're not coordinating or organizing or understanding what's going on. And by the way, I forgot to mention, now that I'm here, all those grants, the Olin, the Beard, the Hackbarth, all those grants out there, they're required not only to report back to us, but if you read the rider language, they're also required to go to the Bioenergy Roundtable and let those folks know what they're up to, too. So, again, trying to coordinate everyone and keep a sense of what's going on in bioenergy and renewable energy in the state. So we're going to put that on them. We move into the Veterans Affairs section. Again, went with the governor's recommendation on 90% of their request, which Again, a lot of the language, I'll admit, is fairly loose, but we trust the commissioner and his folks over there to make wise use of this money. And 2 years from now, we'll hear back from them, I hope, and understand where that money went and how it was used, because there's a lot of big chunks of money here, and we think it's important. But again, we give you a lot of leeway, I think, on how to best use those dollars, and I think that is important. You will see we zeroed out the Minscu stuff. We did have to make some decisions. I know it's not at the full amount in the Senate, and certainly we'll discuss it more in conference. We would hope some of that money could be used to not only enhance your regional Minscu people to have them do more, but also your county service officers to work with those colleges in their districts. Again, I cite my own district. There's a county service officer in Wilmer, Minnesota. There's a college in Wilmer, Minnesota. There's no reason that with the resources they can't coordinate together and really do something at the college as well, if they're not already. So we're willing to work with you, but at this time we left that out. As we move down, the Yaros bill, you remember he wanted reimbursement for Honor Guard up to $50. We also heard from the commissioner and others, and I think they're correct, that in a lot of cases these posts can use their gaming funds, their pull tab funds, and other things for veterans issues. So what we did is we put language in here, and you'll see it in the second part of the bill, that basically says $100,000 is for a grant that the commissioner may give out to these folks if they apply. Granted, there's some posts that won't apply. They think that it's their duty to do Honor Guard, and they're not asking for pay reimbursement. But if they want to, basically it tells the commissioner to give those grants in a priority to posts and others that do not have gaming activities. So, you know, if you have a Legion club that's got pull tabs, they can probably pay it out of that. If you're a smaller post and don't have the resources, the commissioner at his discretion then can give those grants out to those folks first. And hopefully that amount of money then will match that. The Hawes money there is new. That's for the war orphan to add the spouse benefit, if you remember going through that. Otremba talked about the DU, the depleted uranium, and Heigerken talked about some other federal monies perhaps on some of these medical things, and certainly we want to, I think, at least start taking a look at that. $3 million was asked for, but we put $1 million in. I think it's important to at least get an understanding where some of those levels are, and hopefully we can start testing some of those groups at least as they come back and see if we need more in the future. So we're going to start with that $1 million. Faust asked for money for the World War II Veteran Memorial, and that is coming up fairly rapidly on June 9th. So actually what he's asking for is money this year, not next year, which is kind of difficult to do, as you know, in a bill that's for next year. Basically, what you'll see is on line 17.29, we've given $250,000. That's half of what you asked for. But we also heard in committee that it seemed like there were a lot of interested people in helping out, from Poppy's spam people to Finstead's Shell's people to other folks with in-kind, other folks with cash. So we will put it on our veterans organizations to go out and solicit matching dollars to that $250,000, and I think it'll be easy to do. I think there's a lot of people willing to step up to the plate for that. We also give the commissioner the opportunity to borrow from the general fund ahead of time, because obviously this appropriation won't be there until July. So you can borrow forward with those matching funds, keeping track up to $250,000, and then repay that general fund with this appropriation should it make it through the process. So you'll actually have that money to use this year if that works out. Fritz had a bill, and a number of other folks also talked about the suicide prevention and the hotline information. Basically, we funded that at the request. If you remember, Military Affairs was up here and said basically that for $30,000, they thought they could gather the information and correspond that to a current hotline that's there and get that set up so that folks will have that available. We're also doing a study $50,000 is in there for a study on what we can do to address mental health issues of returning combat vets. It actually directs the commissioner to work with a number of other agencies on that and come back with recommendations to us, not only for next year, but 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. What do you think we're going to need for mental health problems for our vets? I think that's important to understand. We also give some suggestions in there for materials for the hotline, refrigerator magnets, wallet cards, etc., and we allow some of that money to be used for printing of those things to distribute to these folks and families and friends so they know where to call. We think it's important, and we want to prevent any more suicides if we can, and certainly get on to that section. So that's the end of the money part. Now what you move into is Article 2, which is the policy section of the bill. Basically what we did, Representative Otremba's committee listened to a lot of policy bills, and most of those that were passed out of her committee and moved to the general register were included here in Article 2. So this is really the policy omnibus section. Again, we'd like to move everything, I think, at once, members, as rural agriculture people to the floor and fight the fight once and get them off and not have to pull things off the general register a dozen times and talk about ag amendments a dozen times over the next couple of weeks. So with that in mind, again, we've put a lot of the bills, our governor's bills, and some of these will change. We've already had some discussion on them, but page 19 is House File 1433 was Olin's bill. House File, the next page, 20, is the governor's Rex. 21 is all governor's bills and Rex, House, or department bills, I should say. Page 22 is a Faust bill, 1639, that he was carrying probably for the... A lot of these were carried on behalf of the department, too. Continuing on, 23, 24 is all department bills. 24 on the bottom is, again, a Faust bill, 1639. 25 is 1640, another bill. Faust, you carried a lot of bills. And assume for the governor's folks, these are mostly department bills, and Faust decided to be the glutton for the punishment on those. One that may get more discussion, and I understand that, is on 26, is a Representative Mary Murphy bill. Port of Duluth, we're having ongoing discussion on who's going to be inspecting ships up there and how we're doing it and who the employees belong to or not, and actually learned that we own a building up there, members. I didn't know that, so we're going to discover more every day on this. Maybe next year we'll get a report on all the facilities that the Department of Agriculture owns or leases, and we can look at that around the state too. But anyway, this is a big deal for our Duluth folks, and we're still under discussion on who should be inspecting those ships and coming and going, and how we should make best use of those folks up there. So that's in here. Waste pesticide collection, I think, Mr. Sullivan, is that still changing, or is this the final form? I know you've been working on it even this morning. This is the final form. So can you explain what it says to us?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Sections 18 and 19 deal with the department's waste pesticide collection program. In Subdivision 1, it specifies that the department has to collect ag and residential pesticides. On line 17 and 18, it removes their ability to limit the type and quantity of pesticides and to assess end users a fee. See, on line 20, specifies, right now it's not clear that there needs to be a collection spot in every county, so that was changed on line 20. 21, it extends availability from residences of each county to persons, so someone from another county could come in and drop off pesticides. And it also requires the commissioner to talk to someone in the county responsible for waste, solid waste management, to determine the appropriate location for the drop-off point. And there's an effective date for that section, section 18. It's basically the normal effective date, but then it goes on to specify that these change provisions apply to all contracts entered into by the commissioner and a local unit of government after that effective date. And Section 19 increases the minimum amount the department needs to spend each year for waste pesticide collection from $300,000 to $400,000. And there are also some changes in the back that I can speak to when we get there or now.
Okay, there's more coming?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I thought something was missing. I know there were some study language groups to sit down and cooperatively study this and come back with recommendations. So this is not the be-all, end-all, and I guess that's still coming. I haven't gotten to that point yet. So, again, the rest of that page was governor's department language. Page 29, agency department language. Page 29, bottom, is the fertilizer task force language. Just as it appeared in the bill introduced this year and actually passed last year also, nothing has changed except the, let me see here, there is language, I'll point it out, 3 point, let me see where we're at. Checkoff fees. Okay, under the checkoff fees, 30.22 is where you see a little different language. Commissioner, if requested by a formal order from the council, shall implement, administer, or discontinue a checkoff fee to provide funding for grants under section blah, blah, blah. That's the only thing that changed. That's basically a click on, click off. And, again, a formal order from the council will direct the legislature. We can do what we want, obviously, but I think we'll look at that very seriously when it comes in. So we're basically putting it into their hands how they want to fund this thing. And as you can see from the prior page, this is a well-represented organization. I'd say an unprecedented represented organization with all these folks sitting in the same room deciding not only how to use the dollars from the checkoff or the cash appropriation, but also how to use their research dollars in a more cooperative manner to hopefully do a better job of that and do even better things in the future with it. So that is the fertilizer checkoff language. Nothing has changed except that one section. Moving on, page 31 is still the checkoff. 32 is a Welty bill, and again, that's a department bill, I believe, Representative Welty. 1787 shows up at the top of 32. The bottom is a department bill. 33 is department. 34, section 29 is a Faust bill again. That's the feed bill, I believe, that Representative Hamilton has been working on. Members, we're not sure if we have agreement on that yet. And if we don't, by tomorrow, we may just remove it for now, take it out of the bill. And certainly, that may be true with some of this other stuff as people come forward in the next day or two. We're working, Representative Hamilton, Faust, and the department are working on that. So, we'll continue that, but if we can't come to agreement, I don't think we have any problem pulling it out and not including it. That bill goes on quite a ways. Now we're up to page 38, and we have a Shumper bill. Again, talking about a lot of this is department stuff that he was carrying. There's a department language. Section 41 increases the fees to approve a food handler facility floor plans. Again, if you remember, the department inspects grocery stores and delis and those types of things, so I assume this would be fees for approving their floor plans when they're building or remodeling. The bottom of that page is a department bill that I actually carried. Moving on to 40 is a Shumper bill. Again, that's a department bill dealing with milk and dairy. We have had some discussions, member, and tomorrow we may see some discussion on whether or not we should allow an exemption to the minimum price of yogurt. In our dairy minimum pricing structure in the state, as you know, we can't sell for below-cost dairy products, so that everyone kind of has an even keel on that. We've had some talk with General Mills. We're in my office the other day, and Shumpers, and we continue the discussion, but to the dairy, the processors, the producers, and the grocers, if we can get agreement with everyone, they have a problem with coupons and the legality of using a coupon on yogurt. If you go below cost with a coupon, is that legal or not? So we may add some language that just simply says you still can't sell below cost yogurt unless you have a coupon or something like that. We're working on some language. So you may see that tomorrow. I want to give you a heads up. We may have a little discussion on dairy minimum pricing. You got a question, Representative Tremba?
Yes, Chairman Junkie. I thought we did do that bill and made a decision in the committee. So why are we bringing it back up? We talked to many dairy farmers and some other yogurt makers, and I just thought we had that issue was over with.
Well, Representative Tremba, again, I don't remember the coupon discussion. I do know that Representative Shumper was in my office this morning with some language. It's his bill, and he was asking that we look at it, review it. But again, unless we have agreement with everyone, including everyone here at the table, we certainly won't move forward. But he was in my office this morning with it, so I'm just bringing it up as an issue that he brought up to me on the bill.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I also understand that we made that decision in a committee.
And what was the decision on the coupons?
The coupons were part of the tier two,
right,
and giving away free yogurt, which would be below the minimum. So that was the discussion.
And
just you know,
was it? Well, we can talk more tomorrow too. But
Mr. Chair, giving a free coupon is giving away free milk products, and so that would be against the law with tier two.
Right. So a cents off coupon may be different than a free coupon.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair. I'd have to look that out. But I also know that other yogurt companies were against that and for leaving the tier two where it was. So, and that we had in our file. So.
I know this discussion is occurring and ongoing, and we'll keep talking about it and see if there's anything that works or not. By tomorrow. Okay. So heads up on that. 42 again is Shumper, again, department bills. House file 1939 continues. Then we get down to page 44, section 47, indemnity for destroyed cattle. That's the Animal Board of Health stuff we talked about earlier. Campgrounds during fairs, that was a Faust bill, again, allowing large or smaller campsites and what's allowed at regular places. We heard that in committee. Page 45 is all department bills. 46, same thing. 47, same thing. 48, department. We get up to 49. Open-air swine basins, that's a bill we heard last week in Representative Tremba's committee, and we put it in here. Same way with Section 60, that was a Conan Bill 1633 on the animal husbandry. You all remember, if you're on the policy committee, hearing that last year, that's included here. Page 51, Section 66 is the Farm Z language. That's a bill of mine, the chair's, House File 651. We've also had a hearing already, informational hearing over in taxes on this, and I indicated to them we would include that language in here. Basically, Farm Z, to remind people, basically takes our established Job Z and qualifies those zones for an on-farm use for value-added facilities. So there's no fiscal note because we're using existing authority. All we're doing is moving the location that it can be utilized into on-farm, for on-farm, again, value-added farm product stuff. Section 68 is a Swigum bill. If you remember on the plants, came to our committee, and he indicated he wouldn't mind having it in the omnibus bill. It's there. Here's more of the Waste Fest site. Okay, here's the report. Basically asking them to report back. I would say the only discussion point I have on that is the date, January 5th, 2009. We may want to move that up a year because we actually start our next funding cycle and bill on January 5th, 2009. We heard testimony, I believe, that the contracts run out at the end of December, that would mean that we have a six-month period with nothing in place. If that's what we're going to do is wait till January 5th, really the next cycle doesn't begin until July 1st of that year. So we want to, I think, look at that date in there. Otherwise, the language asks these folks to all sit down and come back with a recommendation to the House and the Senate, basically, on what to do with waste pesticide disposal. Repealers, again, happy to have council go through those if you want. I'm not going to at this point. Article 3, again, remember we're separating bioenergy, and we did so here. Again, Representative Magnus, thank you to him for working on this language. This is the Next Gen Energy Board language. Basically talks about who's on it, what their duties are, and certainly you can read all that over. But again, what it does really is set up a mechanism for not only this year, next year, but into the future on how we handle grants and loans to people for bioenergy. I think another important part of this bill, frankly, members, for us and for the rural agriculture community is Section 2 in there. We have a 25 by 25 goal. Yes, we've heard that already for electricity. This adds 25 by 25 goal for all energy, including biofuels and all the things we consider to be agricultural related and wood product related and other fuels in the state. This basically mimics a resolution in Congress today being carried by Representative Peterson and I believe Harkin, if I'm not mistaken, in the Senate. They are doing the same type of language in Congress. I think it's important that we as Minnesotans and agriculture folks say that we agree with that and we want our renewables to be 25% by the year 2025. It's not a mandate, it's a goal, and I think it's stated clearly that way, and I would hope we'd get broad support on that like we did with the other 25 and 25. The section below simply takes, if you remember, we moved to 20% requirement on liquid fuel being from renewable, our E20 bill of the last couple of years. So those of you around, this just simply puts it in line and says it moves to 25% by the year 2025. So it extends that goal somewhat. Moving into Article 4, it's Veterans Affairs Policy. There you see, again, the language on the Yaros bill is Section 1. You see language on the Otremba, DU, and health screening language show up in Section 2 of that. And going through to Section 3, again, is Yaros language. Again, there it gives the commissioner priority to local units that do not have charitable gaming operations, so that's instructions to the commissioner. The War Orphans Act, the Haas Bill and Severson Bill is the next section, adding spouses. We move on to 58, that's a Haas Bill again. Section 5 is House File 1891. I believe he and Severson were here. Talks about that it could possibly be a non-veteran overseeing the Veterans Home Board, and we put it in here at his request. It was heard in another committee, but it's in this omnibus bill in the Veterans Affairs section. The Fritz language, again, from her psychological counseling is there. I will make a note, there was some additions on the bottom. Members, I have in my office a pre-design in place that I've been working with the Veterans Home Board. They're working on a facility in my county, actually. Before we do that facility, I'd like input from the commissioner and others, Veterans Home Board, Military Affairs, on if we should expand that facility and think about mental health treatment for returning combat vets as well as the geriatric treatment facility we were talking about originally. So we want to take a look and see before we put any shovel in the ground out there, should we wisely or not take a look at that and say maybe we ought to retrofit that plan for something more than it originally was. So we asked the commissioner to look at that and come back in November fairly rapidly, but again, we're planning for next year's bonding bill on that, and we give some direction in there to the commissioner. At the end, again, is the title that will be changed on the bill, and that's it. That is the bill. That is the spreadsheet. Any questions from the committee at this point in time on anything or comments? Otherwise, members, what we're going to do, like I said, we'll come back tomorrow. I'd appreciate everyone working together on a number of things, bringing us amendments if you have them early, talking to authors, if you're changing bills in the back, talk to the department. If it's a department bill, talk to some of the authors. If it's an author bill, let's try and get agreement so we don't have to sit here and duke it out on these things for a long time on anything. I think we're capable of that as good legislators who get along quite well. I also want to announce in the audience here today that walked in and is hanging out for a little bit, we have ninth grade students from St. Louis Park High School, right? And they're participating. Yep. They're here again. It's a voice program called the Voice of the People, Your Role in Minnesota Government. So we're glad to have them here and welcome. So again, any testimony that people want to, if you want to testify, get your name into Kate for tomorrow. We'll get you on a list for testimony, pro or con, indifferent or not. And again, members, try and get your amendments or anything we need to do in. If we need more time than tomorrow, we'll decide that tomorrow, and we'll set up rooms and times for the next couple days, Thursday, Friday, and or Monday. With that, meeting, this bill will be laid aside until tomorrow, and the meeting is adjourned.